the Wakasashi, followed by beheading by a friend. This conclusion is called Kaishaku. It is a very, very honorable ceremony.
Include us out.
That is not allowed to be possible, Kodasan.
How's that?
You are all guests of honor of Lord Mashashiga. He would wish all men who are honorable guests to come and show witness at the dying.
Only men?
Of course.
Well, just this once I'll go along with your male chauvinism without a protest.
Seconded. Very high on the list of things that I don't want to see.
I don't think any of us want to come. Yoshimoto, can you just give our excuses to Mashashiga?
Yes. Tell your master that we plead a previous engagement.
You do not comprehend. It is not a matter of choosing for you. Lord Mashashiga invites, and you must all come. All four of you. It will happen as soon as the sun reaches the highest point in its journey across the celestial heavens, before it begins to sink once more towards its resting in the far skies of the west.
Noon.
After breakfast, Doc had asked for and obtained a set of Mahjong tiles, offering to teach the others how to play that most subtle of games. Ryan, Christy, and Mildred had finally agreed to give it a go, sitting at a green baize covered table in a room with slitted windows along its northern flank. There were rows of ivory and bamboo tiles in front of them, all delicately engraved with stylized designs. A trio of young geisha came in to watch. After a while, one of them got bored and went to sit with Jack, who was flipping idly through a pile of pre-dark magazines, each one wrapped in clear plastic to protect its brittle rarity. The young geisha was sitting so close to Jack that she was almost in his lap, her almond eyes staring into his.
Hello.
Hi. Name's Jack.
Issy.
Nice to meet you.
I thought that Mahjong was a Chinese game, Doc.
It was originally, but it spread all across the East and then to many other countries.
I don't think I'm getting it. Took me long enough to master five-card draw.
Very easy. Now look, when you have a pong of red dragons and a pair of each of the winds, then... I believe that the hand called Gates of Heaven is also... Or is that the wriggling snake?
I've got a Kong of circles, characters, and bamboos, Doc. Now, if I get one of each of the dragons plus a pair, is that hand called a dragonfly?
Yes, my dear young lady, it is. Excellent. We make progress here.
Triple knitting is half limit, and the heavenly twins are full limit? That right?
No, it most certainly is not correct. Yes, it is correct. Yes, it certainly is.
Is the three scholars better than the four blessings, Doc?
No, but in the four blessings, you must beware of conging the winds.
Mildred and Christy exchanged glances.
One thing, Doc. Mahjong sure takes your mind off any other worries.
JB was immersed in several pre-dark gun magazines, which he had found in the corner of the room.
Interesting bit on baby Brownings. And some superb pics of the Rossi snub-nosed revolvers.
There are pics here of famine in China, and Ruskies testing bombs in Tibet. Also, a big issue about taking chunks of national parks to build redoubts. Folks Dan said was raping the land, and war would never happen.
War always happen.
Brian stood, checking his wrist cron.
You're not wrong there, miss. It's 10 to 12. Best get ready to go and watch this chilling.
But... we have scarcely scratched the surface as far as the Mahjong is concerned.
Doc looked down at the scattered tiles, like spilled shards of bright porcelain, brilliant against the dull green baize.
We can play two-handed, can't we, Doc, while you and the others are away for a while?
Jack stood, patting the young Japanese woman on the shoulder.
Well, gotta go watch a man rip his guts out.
He turned to Christy and Mildred.
Why not play that game with Issy?
The geisha next to Jack lowered herself into a submissive bow, her eyes staring at the floor, her shoulders hunched, hands together.
If it would not give offense, I would be glad to assist.
Fine. And if one of your friends wants to make up the four?
Toyotomi Hideyoshi stood in the doorway in full ceremonial clothing, his dazzling robe of silk showing a snow-topped mountain with white herons flying low over the summit. He bowed to the room in general.
Lord Mashashiga wishes to welcome his honored guests from the realms of Deadlands to witness the honorable passing of the attacker of the night.
We wish to make it clear that we are only attending this killing because we have to. All of us would rather stay away. Your rituals of death are nothing to do with any of us.
I note carefully in my mind what it is that you say. Follow me.
They followed Hideyoshi down the twists and turns of the corridors. Servants popped out of doorways, dropping to their knees as the outlanders passed by, lowering their bodies until their foreheads brushed the spotless floors.
Quickly! The Lord must not be kept waiting.
Then you should have called for us a few minutes earlier. There should be respect due to my gray hairs.
Respect is earned solely by rank, position, and by honor. The finest house is not always that with snow upon the roof, Dr. Tana.
Hideyoshi eventually led them into a room that they hadn't seen before. From the magnificence of the wood carvings and the decorations, this was obviously the ceremonial hub of the entire building. It was a hall, fully 100 feet long and 50 feet wide, with a vaulted roof that soared above them. The first thing that Ryan noticed was a large rectangle of pure white cotton, set perfectly in the center of the room, its corners tacked down with copper-headed nails. About 100 men were in the room, standing in a silent row, lining the walls beneath an array of gleaming metal lamps. The majority of them were ordinary foot soldiers, dressed in crisp uniforms of red and white. Most carried long-hafted pikes with hooked blades, though some had the 7.62mm rifles that Ryan had seen before. Mashashiga wasn't there, though there was a raised chair close to the longer edge of the white cloth. A small group of the fortress's own samurai stood together, all in finest dress clothes and armor, all with their swords. There was also no sign of any prisoner. It crossed Ryan's mind that this might be a trap for their benefit, and at any moment there would be a signal, and the men with pikes would rush at them. He noticed JB's right hand rested on the butt of the Uzi, and knew that the same thought had occurred to his oldest friend.
This is a specially honorable position, so you may all witness everything that is to happen.
Thanks.
Doc placed himself to one side, with JB on the other. Jack was next to the armorer. Lord Mashashiga walked into the hall. At his side was the Ronin, dressed entirely in black. The two Japanese men stood together, Mashashiga slender and every inch an athlete, and his would-be assassin, who was an inch or so taller and looked to weigh a good 50 pounds more. The Ronin looked calm and friendly, not at all like someone about to take his own life. Mashashiga clasped hands with his enemy, then went to sit on his throne. The Ronin walked barefoot onto the rectangle of cloth and knelt, shrugging off his gown so that he was effectively naked from the waist up. At a sign from the shogun, Takayashimoto strutted forward, holding a dagger on a white velvet cushion, a tassel of white silk dangling from the inlaid hilt. Ryan guessed the blade was between 9 and 10 inches in length.
The Wakizashi. And the Lord himself is to act as his... What is the proper word for a man who is an assistant in a duel?
A second?
Yes, that is the word. The Lord will be the second to the Ronin and will perform the final act.
The doomed man bowed to Yashimoto and took the dagger in both hands, laying it on the cloth in front of him, where it drew the eye like a jeweled insect.
Now he will make a short speech.
It is good to see many people here to witness my journey from life to death. I ask for prayers from my ancestors and beg forgiveness for rising against Lord Mashashiga and his house. I regret that I will no more walk through mountains and watch eagles soar and salmon leap and smell blossoms on the flowering cherry.
The Ronin turned his eyes toward the little group of foreigners.
I am honored that you four are here to watch me pay for my actions.
Sweat beaded over the man's muscular, hairless chest and shoulders. His hair was long and sleek, tied into a tight knot at the back of the head.
Now it begins.
The Ronin leaned forward and wiped his hands on the cloth, leaving a gray smudge. He picked up the dagger, looking down at it with a blank, expressionless face, his eyes seeming to stare through the polished metal into the heart of the knife. The man sat back on his heels, tautening the skin across his belly. He reached down with his left hand and touched himself, trying to locate the precise spot to make the first cut. He found it. Suddenly, he slashed down with a wakizashi, the sharp point barely brushing the skin. A bead of crimson appeared, rolling and vanishing into the folds of black cloth across the Ronin's loins.
Now, it ends.
The dagger came down again, thrust into the man's stomach. The Ronin pulled the blade sharply from left to right, then up. Blood spilled from the gaping wound,